Oh, I'm on. All right. So let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I want you to learn two Greek words today. The first word is anoetai. Went over this a little bit last time. Anoetai means, the word for mind is nous. So anoetai means no mind. In other words, you've lost your mind. So the a in front of anoetai means not mind. You lost your mind. You're out of your mind. You're crazy. Now, it's translated, O foolish Galatians. O foolish is you are, I can't believe you did that. That's what it's talking about. That these Galatians were Christian and then they turned back to keeping the law again. They started out in the spirit. Now they've ended up back in the flesh again. Oh, yeah, I forgot I'm a Christian. I have to stop doing bad things. That's not Christianity. Oh, yeah. And you have to start doing good things. That is not Christianity. It's the opposite of Christianity. So Christianity is God has set you free. Okay? For there is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. Say no condemnation. Okay, in the Greek, it actually starts out with the word no, not in the English, but in the Greek originally, no condemnation. So the emphasis for the Holy Spirit is that there's no condemnation anymore. None. So there can't be death because there is no law because Jesus already kept it and Jesus already died and therefore there isn't any. Now, eliminated forever for the law of life in Christ Jesus, or the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, hath set me free from the law of sin and death. So it's gone. So neither sin nor death is you anymore. Amen. Now, what that means is not, oh, good, now I can sin. Why? It could be that. It could be, oh, good, I'm not under the law and I can't die, so I'll just sin my whole time. Duh. You're going to sin anyway. So it isn't like, oh, I'm free to sin. No, sin does not lead to happiness. The reason why God hates sin, not the person, The reason why God hates sin is because it doesn't lead the person to their destiny, to their purpose for which he created them, which is to be happy. Safe and free and happy to do what is good, what is right, what is true, what is just. Now, those things are free. In other words, there's no law that says you have to be good. There's no law that says you have to be or else you die. Well, you say there was a law. In the beginning, he said, don't eat of this tree, this particular tree, don't eat of it. And that tree was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And there's don't ever say you know what good and evil is. For example, I'm God, and if I want to, I can forgive a sinner. Well, that wouldn't be good if he has a law, and you die if you sin, you're going to die. If he gives a law, then shouldn't you die? Because God said so. But no, he said no, not because sin doesn't deserve death. It does, because it doesn't lead to happiness. But because I have the right to forgive a sinner anytime I want to. I reserve the right. I hide it behind my back. Anytime I want to, I could say, even though this person is sin and ought to die, I could give them mercy. Or just because they're sinners, they can't get the Holy Spirit, I could give it to them anyway. You see, God reserves for himself the right to forgive any sinner, or if he wanted to, two sinners. Or maybe 17. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Or maybe 38. Or maybe a billion. Or maybe all mankind could be forgiven because of God's special hidden idea that in Jesus Christ, everybody's forgiven. Everybody's forgiven. Everybody. Once for all. Isn't that amazing? Now, how many Christians, after they met Jesus, took the mercy and then went ahead and sinned again? I just want to know if there's anybody. There's one right there. Another one. Anybody, I mean, you shouldn't be grateful that he forgave you. Now, are you going to go back to sin again? But Jesus doesn't define sin the way you define sin, or Moses. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not have other gods before me, thou shalt blah, 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 blah. Those are not the sins he's talking about. The sin he's talking about is self-righteousness. That's the sin he has to get rid of, that you think that you could make a sacrifice, an offering, an atonement for your sin. So God isn't mad at the sin. He's mad at the thought that you have that you actually could be good, should be good, might have been good. So he forgives you, so you have a second chance. Not true. Not true. God does not give you a second chance. He eliminates it entirely. The law is gone. Therefore, sin is gone. Therefore, happiness is possible today. You could be free today because there's no law. Therefore, there's no sin. Therefore, he can't withhold the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he gives it to you for free. Therefore, he doesn't give you half of the Holy Spirit. He gives you the whole thing. The debt is paid. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The debt is paid forever. Not it's a mortgage. You got to pay a little bit each month. You got to pay a little bit each day. No, it's not that way. Now, this message will not go over well. This message is impossible to get a hold of, but it's in the Bible, so I have to preach it. That Jesus Christ, when he died, you died. When he rose, you rose.
Hallelujah.
And when he is reigning in heaven, you now reign in heaven. So therefore, every day. Oh, I'm sorry. Probably screaming too loud. I love screaming. But little kids don't like it. Is he okay now?
Maybe.
I'll behave. I'll do good. I'll stop doing evil. All right. So how many know that Christians, after they become born again, even filled with the Spirit, even, mature in Christ, still sin? How many know Christians still sin? Have you noticed that there are Christians, I mean real Christians, I mean serious Christians, pastors. That was a joke. Even pastors sin. Is that not amazing? I don't. I'm just talking about others. No, it's amazing to me that after King David sinned, he committed adultery and killed his best friend and all that stuff. He broke all the Ten Commandments, and then he still sinned after that. You don't think that's funny? That is not funny. He should have quit being a king, right? He should have stopped being a king. He should have said, hey, you know what? I was a man after God's own heart. No, I'm not. I'm out of here. Do I get a retirement program? No, I'm sorry. I'm just out of here. And David should have then just be punished by God. Why didn't God punish him? Because of his heart. Did you know that David prayed this prayer? Create in me a clean heart, O God. I know against you and you only have I sinned and done that which is evil in your sight. I counted the troops. I forgot to ask you. So, you see, it isn't just what you think evil is. God thought it was evil for David to secure himself by knowing how many troops he had. I always win. I think it's because I got a lot of troops. I'm going to count them. And so, since he did that, he forgot to ask Jesus. How many know that doesn't seem like a bad sin? Eating an apple doesn't seem like a bad sin. I mean, why does God get to decide what sin is? What if God calls sin what I don't call sin? And what if he calls goodness what I don't call goodness? In other words, what if I sin and then he forgives me? Is that good? Well, for me it is. I don't know about anybody else, but for me, for God to forgive not just my past sins, but my present sins and my future sins, I think that's awesome. Is that too good to be true? How many know that God has covered the whole deal? Whatever you owed, paid up. Not only that, because he knew you might get in debt again, he then gave you the Holy Spirit because you were forgiven. And if you're forgiven, you're forgiven. And if the debt is gone, the debt is gone. After you pay the IRS, you don't owe him anymore. Well, some people do. So how many know that once the debt is paid, it's paid. And once Jesus died, you're died. You died when Jesus died. He didn't die for his sins. He died for yours. So therefore, if he subbed for you and said, look, I don't want Pastor Jim to die. He deserves it. but I don't want him to die. He deserves everything that's coming to him and more. You know, you just add 50 more lashes on him because he's no good. Nope, God said, no, Peg, you'll take care of that. I will forgive him. Judy, you're the only one that got that. You're the only one that got that. That was good. So, you know, we punish people that God has already forgiven. God's forgiven them, but we don't. And not only that, worse, we punish ourselves when we do something wrong. In other words, people that are hard on others are always hard on themselves. I'm going to say it again. People that are hard on others are, first of all, always hard on themselves. In other words, they're under pressure, they're under the law, they're under some kind of expectation or whatever, so they put everybody else under that too. If I have to do it, so... So how many are thinking right now, you know, I like this message because I just did sin about an hour ago, but I could sin two times today. This message is so good, I could keep sinning a whole bunch and still go to heaven. But Pastor Jim, of course, is lying. So you're a little bit nervous about what I just said. Because the truth couldn't be that good, that ours is the only God in the universe that is a loving Father. Never has been offended, never has been angry, never has been full of wrath. You say, that's in the Bible. Yes, it is. He did take out his wrath on Jesus Christ, on not that cross, but a cross like that forever, for all mankind. Hallelujah. He did that. I didn't do it. He did it. It's too bad for him, because I'm going to take advantage of that. If Jesus Christ took all my sin on that cross, see, they all are there. I listed them. I got a few more I didn't put on there, but, you know, didn't want to put all my sins on. It'd be a mile long. So all of your sins are on that cross. Amen? I know that's true of you, Debbie. I know it is.
There's probably more.
There's probably more? Uh-oh. So if all of our sins are on that cross forever, that's what Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They don't know what they're doing. He was talking about the Jewish people that had turned us over to the Roman people who were both going to sin against us. And all of my sins were apparently also on that cross. Because he took the sin of the whole world. And he said, you can't make an offering, you can't make a sacrifice, you cannot make an atonement to get right with God. There's nothing you can do by your works, which are all flawed. They're all still selfish. How many of all of the good works that you have, you're proud of? And pride is a sin. How many know you're proud of the fact that you're humble? And therefore, nothing you do, I don't care what you do, you cannot get rid of sin. Even after you're a Christian, you still sin. But God doesn't count it. Doesn't count it. But he knows it's there. But he doesn't count it because Jesus Christ already died for it. Therefore, it doesn't count. He can't count it. When he gets to adding up all the numbers, all of a sudden you come out with a net profit. How did that happen? Because look at my income was zero, you know, and then my expenses were humongous because I owed so much. My debt to equity wasn't quite right. And then when it got to my gross profit, I had nothing left to even pay the government. And they, you know, they'll take from you anyway. You can even say I'm bankrupt. They'll still take from you. You know, they just love it. And so, golly, I'll get no net at all. But what if Jesus Christ paid for everybody's sin once for all forever?
Thank you, Lord.
And he did. So I love this message because it fits me. It totally is a personal thing for me. I love the message. I personally don't care if anybody here likes it. I love this message. It fits me to a T. It's exactly made for a wicked person, a person that had no good in him, zero. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, it seems like all includes me. How many know that all includes me? So just because you're a pastor doesn't mean you'll get into heaven. Just because you're a monk or a pope or a priest or something, that doesn't help at all. Or because you're a Muslim, chop somebody Christian head off, or some Jewish person blow up their bus or something, you still don't go to heaven. You don't get any of the virgins and you get none of the beer. That is bad for a Muslim because they're going to be surprised when they get up there. They're going to be surprised. So you have nothing to fear. I tell you what, you should be happy. Why? Because you have the only God in the world that's real. All the other gods are lies. They're not gods at all. They're just man's way of controlling. They're just man's way of controlling people, keeping people behaving. Now, Since this is a message that will never sell, and I know it won't, people don't like this message. But if you're wicked, you like it. So I might have two or three here. Do I have two or three wicked people? Thank you. Oh, I got a big church. I love this. I love this. Because only people that are wicked actually qualify for this mercy. You cannot get mercy if you're a straight A student. You can only get it if you flunked. You can only get the remedial course if you failed math in the third grade. So this Bible is only for failures that have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, what he intended you when he first created mankind was that everybody on earth would love the Lord their God with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength and their neighbor as themselves. That's what he intended. Never happened. Never, never, never. And even when he gave the law to Moses and said, tell them this again because they might have forgotten, it didn't help anything. I mean, you know, the Jews never did keep the Sabbath. Never has there been a Shabbat Shalom, really. Because they're still trying to work their way into heaven by works. Thank God we're not. Thank God we're not. And yet we have more works than they do. Why? Because not only did he forgive all my sins on Calvary, but then he gave me the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me. So I now have the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which has set me free from the law of sin and death. And I now have the power of that Holy Spirit and the power of his resurrection life living inside of me, and therefore coming for me and then in me and then through me, working out his kingdom. And I don't need to see it to believe it. I need to believe it to see it. And I do. I actually believe that I'm a saint. How many know there's no Bible in the New Testament that says, dear sinners at Rome. There's not one. They're all called saints. Based on what? Certainly not on works. So, if the only way you can please God is not to, if the only way you can please God is to do nothing, because he has done everything for you, and now he's working it out in you slowly so that you can't take pride along the way, so that when the trumpet sounds at the end of time when he comes back, which could be next week, next year, could be soon, the only thing you can do is nothing. Let him do everything. And since he's in you, to will and to do of his good pleasure, let him do it. And he swore the good work, Jim, that I began in you. I began that right there. When I began that good work, I will surely finish it. I will. I didn't say you will. I didn't say you'd help me. I didn't say you'd cooperate with me. I said, I will surely complete it. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. The perfect tense in the Greek language is almost never used in the New Testament. But right there, those two words, the old has passed away. It means it's completely past and it can never be again. And the new has come. It's a perfect present. Already here. It's not coming. It's already here in God's sight. So you have to do it by faith. You have to do it by faith because you can't see it. You're not going to feel it in your emotions. You're not going to feel it. You're not going to understand it in your mind. You're not going to say, oh, yeah, I get it. No. It has nothing to do with your mind, your will, your emotions, your desires, your imagination. It has nothing to do with you at all. It's a promise that he made that you understand what he said, even if you don't understand what he said. Yes. Because it's a spiritual understanding, not an intellectual understanding. As a matter of fact, you will have intellectual doubt when you have spiritual faith. Because faith cometh by hearing, not by thinking, not by imagining, not by feeling, not by desiring. It has nothing to do with you. You cannot check anything inside yourself. I wonder if that's true. You can never know, because you don't know what good and evil is. You don't know anything. All you do is read this book, and then one day, all of a sudden, you go, huh, I don't know why. For some reason, I got the good news. I believe God likes me. I believe God is for me. Who can be against me? Yeah. I believe God is for me. Who can be against me? Now, when God is for you, then you don't have to worry about Obama. You don't have to worry about your job. You don't have to worry about security in this world. You don't have to worry about your marriage. You don't have to worry about your children. You don't have to worry about anything. God owns the economy. God owns the society. God owns the people, the nations. He's the governor of all. He can at any moment, at any time, eliminate everything that look. Whatever you're looking at today, he can eliminate it. He can change it. He's already told you a promise, and that's all you need. You don't need anything more than that rock. That promise is our rock that can't be moved. It's so solid because God can't lie. That's all you need to know. God can't lie. Now, what if there is no God? That's your problem. That's your problem. I'm sorry, I can't help you on that one. Because anybody can doubt. Do you think doubt is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? No, the doubt is just a psychological thing. Doubt, psychological. But once you've heard this truth and it comes to you, don't be witchcrafted by that eye on top of that pyramid that looks at you and puts a spell on you as though now that you're born again and now that you've gotten a little bit of happiness, you have to now get to work. You can't work. There's nothing you can do. If I do a good work, it wasn't me. If I do a good work, it wasn't me. If something happens and I know it was God, I can't take any pride in it. I can't have any thought, well, wow, that was awesome. I used to swear, I'm not swearing anymore. Wow, I'm a Christian. How many know you are not, you may not swear outwardly, you might be swearing inwardly when you see that what God says is crazy. How many know that when you trust in God, it doesn't work out exactly the way you were thinking? His timing is not exactly your kind of timing. When he says right early, I don't know, have any idea what his Timex watch said, but it doesn't sound like early to me. Because when I call upon him in the day of trouble, he doesn't answer to my eyes, to my understanding, to my senses. I don't see it, but I believe it. Why do I believe it? I don't know. I just do. I just do because it's good news. I don't have to understand every verb and every preposition. I don't have to understand whether it's the protasis. I don't have to understand anything. All I have to understand is just read it. Just read it. Just hear it. I'm preaching it to you right now. Somebody could get saved right now just from hearing that God doesn't want you to labor, to work anymore. You're not under any law. You're not under any pressure, any expectation. God's already done it all. All. It is finished. Tetelestai. Tetelos, teleo in Greek means the finish is already. So tetelos means it's a future. So T-E-T-E, that means it's perfectly done. It's finished forever. Another one of those perfects. So if everything is done, then there's nothing to be done. How many know if everything is to be done, then everything has been done? So the law is complete. We're free from the law now. You have been set free forever and never go back. Don't be bewitched by that eye that sends out a spell on people that now that you're born again, you need to behave. You do not need to behave. You may behave. I'm going to tell you something. I drink as much whiskey as I want. I do. And I have as many affairs as I want. All that I want. I steal as much as I want. The only thing is I don't want to. Yeah. Why? I'll tell you why. Because my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And I'm so hung up on that that I don't have time to drink and smoke and chew and go with those that do. I don't have time. It isn't that I'm any good. It's that God is good. It isn't that I got gooder. It's that God, I got dead quicker to my self-righteousness, my capacity to do good, and my holding other people under a law. So I like people that sin still. After you're a Christian, did you know that every Christian sins at least once every day? Are you aware of that? Every Christian. Every Christian. Everybody. Now, if we could go through the church, because we don't have a huge crowd today, so we could actually go through everybody and see. We'll start with Norma over here. Let's see if Norma ever has sinned. Norma, since you've had over 90 years of opportunity to sin, did you ever sin? She's lying. It's right there. I got her in a sin right there. Because I know she did. You know what? God isn't counting sin. Why do you want to count sin? Is that a good thing to count sin? What if God actually meant what he said? What if he actually meant what he said, not what you thought he said, but what he actually said? What if what he wrote down in the book, it is written? It is written. This is what made the modern world, was this book, nothing else. This is what made America. This is what made Texas. This book, right here. There is no such thing as law. Get rid of God, you get rid of law. Get rid of economy, you'll get rid of everything. You'll have nothing. You'll have total nothing. I guarantee you it won't happen. Why? Because this book. This book said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Only it's talking about her. It's talking about the bride of Christ. Since I'm the bride of Christ, there's no spots on me. There's no wrinkles on me. Why? Because he that began a good work will surely plant. When he comes back and that trumpet sounds, when that comes back, he's going to come back and everybody's going to have a new body and a new soul. Right now you don't. All you see today is you have a new heart based on faith in the Bible. But what if there will suddenly be a new body and a new soul equal to your new heart, your new spirit, which you already have? You already have that by faith. You got a new heart. The old has passed away, the new has come. You already have the new heart right now, but you don't yet have a new body and a new soul. How many know you can feel that you're growing every day and getting better? No. No. He doesn't want any improvement because that would be labor on your part. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. He just says, by a promise. You haven't yet seen this promise fulfilled. You've seen the promise fulfilled about Jesus coming, dying on the cross. You got that promise out. You also saw the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That also came. So we got that promise. He also said that every day he would be with you and he'd never leave you, ever leave you, ever leave you or forsake you. Looks like he does, but don't go by looks. Don't judge by appearance. That would be that evil eye getting a hold of you and saying, let's look at what appeareth, not with judgment that is true and right based on Scripture. This is what made the world. This is what made the whole world. This book right here made the whole world. And it won't ever perish. I tell you what, you can do anything you want, have bombs go off and Al-Qaeda win and everything. Still won't. That promise will be fulfilled. You will see it. And I believe in our lifetime we will see it. And I don't care if it's my lifetime. Norma and I are racing to the bitter end here to see who can live the longest. But I want to be as old as Norma is today and maybe even a little older. How about you? Do you want any more years? I think she wants to be 120. I'd like to be 121 and beat it. I don't want to die at 120 because I'm not even started. I've just begun. It's too exciting, too powerful. Praise God. Amen. You know, we might even have 100 members someday. It'd be awesome. I would give praise to God if we had 100 members. As it is, we'll probably lose about half of you. But I ain't going to stop saying the good news. To me, this is good news. I love it. I could have just Peggy and I. It'd be okay with me. That's pretty much what I'm going to probably end up with. I love it. I love it. Because Peggy needs a lot of help, so I could spend full time. Did you know that God is good? Yeah. Did you know that he loves you? Did you know that you don't have to do anything? Did you know that you're already pre-qualified? Did you know that when he died, you died? When he rose, you rose? When he reigns, you reign? I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by what? Faith in the Son of God. The one who died, gave himself for me. That is your whole life right there. So, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Bewitched is the eye over the little pyramid thing there that says you have been fooled into thinking. Because a pyramid is one brick at a time, built on top of the other brick at a time. So all the individuals inside that brick is humanity trying to get community and security and so on, and they never finish. Never finish. Your works can never get you to heaven, utopia, heaven on earth, peace on earth. You can't get it. You can't get peace on earth. The United Nations, worthless, absolutely worthless, a lie, a deception, a complete folly. What bewitchment that anyone would believe that if all the nations of the world can't make it, that if they all got together, it'd be better. A bunch of losers getting together are still a bunch of losers. No, you'll never stop war. War and contradiction and all kinds of problems and troubles, they're going to be there to the end. And God puts you in the midst of the nations to be the salt and the light.
Right.
It's not going to be peace on earth, goodwill to men until the millennium. But we are pre-millennial. In other words, we can have it right here in our little church. We can have right here today, everybody hearing the Holy Spirit and becoming not only believers, but also disciples, but also lovers. We can do it right now, today. We can have it. So we're already heaven on earth. I'm in heaven. Is anybody else in heaven? Anybody else? No. Come on, it's your time to testify. You know, everyone will know you're lying, but testify. Just say it. Say it in faith. Don't say it because it's obvious, but say it in faith. I am a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. I'm part of God's company, and now I can do all the good works that he wanted, because that was a promise. But Jesus was the fulfillment of that promise, coming inside of me, dwelling inside of me. I'm the temple of the living God. I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. That temple now can do all these works for no reason at all, just because of God projecting his majesty in and through me to others. Now, you see, we actually do the good works, but we don't do it for any reason. We don't get it to go to heaven. We don't get it to avoid hell. We're just good for nothing. You're the only one that got that. That was good. That was good. You are a teacher. You paid attention. Good for nothing. It could be understood in a couple of ways, obviously. If you're good for nothing, that means you're not being good to do something so that you get a reward. You already have the reward. You're just good because you are good, because God is good, and he chose you as his temple, as his dwelling place on the earth. Therefore, you can say it today, I'm good. When God asks you someday, what did you do? You can say to him nothing, or you can say to him everything. How do you plead? Perfect, innocent, never committed a sin. Now, you didn't do it because Christ is your righteousness. So therefore, since he is your righteousness, he is your sanctification, he is your justification, he is your glorious life. It's his life that's in you now. And you are joined together. What God has joined together, let no man pull apart, pull asunder. So since you cannot pull apart what God has joined together, it's impossible. The gates of hell can't do it. Can't do it. Once God puts something together, and once God separates something, me from this world, me from my sins, me from the law, me from the devil, not part of him anymore. I've been transferred by that blood of Jesus, which covered all my sins, are forgiven now, no more guilt. But also he took away my sins, and though I haven't seen it yet, I believe they're already being taken away. Just by meditating day and night upon this promise, upon this word, that if God be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. Nobody. There's no way anyone can take away your joy. What about Texas? Forget the rest of the United States. What about Texas? What if God has a sense of humor? And he decided to use Texans to restore, not America. You can't restore America. You're not going to restore America. You're not. But what if he decided to have a big chunk of it, because Texas, big thinking. What if God wanted to start a revival right here, and then it would spread to the rest of the states, not taking everybody, but, you know, 10% maybe. What if God would do that just because he has a sense of humor? Because how many know the rest of the United States is either envious or hate our guts? They're either envious because we got everything. We're richer than they are, smarter than they are. We got more economies than they do, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. We're pretty big in the world. We are bigger in some senses than the whole United States. Soon as, if we would leave, the United States would be depleted, gone. It'd be an empty well. There'd be nothing there. So they actually need us. What I'm saying is this. I think God does have a sense of humor. And I think he is going to, because down here we still believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
We still believe in the Bible.
Yeah.
We're the buckle of the belt. So don't you think that matters?
Yeah.
I mean, how can you keep your pants up? That wasn't funny. But you do remember that. You will remember that. Now, what I'm saying is, because we here aren't smart and great and awesome and so on, it's just we just have a good time. Because we believe in Jesus. Our goodness is not that we're any good. Our goodness is we believe God is. We just believe that God is. In 1929, in New York, when the stock closed, it crashed. The market just fell apart. People jumped out of windows. In Texas, all we did was go out, take the bullhorns off the caddy, and just drove out into church. We just went to church again. That's all. In other words, people lost hundreds of millions of dollars. They didn't care. They didn't jump out of any windows. There are no windows to jump out of hardly. So we just simply went back to the cactus and bull nettled, kicked it a little bit, said, here we are. Why? Because we've always had it tough here. It's always been an unpromising land. But look, it turned out that we're very promising here. Why? Because of Jesus. He will bless any desert, anywhere, any life, any time. He will fill you with the water of his washing, of his word, that will renew anybody, anytime, so that you could have joy today. Let's have a testimony. Who has a testimony? Yes, Debbie.
God is, you are free indeed.
It's powerful. Who else? Who else? Just make it up if you want. He's our only hope. He's our only hope. Yeah, he's powerful. Go ahead. Right.
Jesus, they continually renounce him, but he is the hope. He is the hope of this world.
Too powerful. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. A horseshoe is a horseshoe. That's it. Everybody else is sophisticated and smart today. The rest of the United States are all, you know, into all kinds of crazy things. Let them. Let them do it. Don't worry about it. We'll get them later. Just stay with Jesus. The only foundation you need, you already have. What he did 2,000 years ago, this is now the third day he's coming back. So he's coming back for a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. I believe we're part of it. We're not the whole, but we're part of it. And that's all you need to know is God cannot lie. If he makes a promise, just go and read it and you can hang on it. You can rely upon anything that God has said as a solid rock. Nothing in this world is that solid. The banks aren't. The big corporations, the whatever, all the smart people and so on. It's rubbish. It's all worthless. The only thing that you need is this right here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness is the kind I'm just telling you about where you don't do it. Jesus did it for you. And he just gives it to you. And he wants everybody to have this. Not everyone will take it. I know that they're not going to take it because it doesn't sound right. But multitudes, you can't even number how many will take it around the world today. China, Russia, India, wherever you go, wherever I go, I tell you what, I have never, ever not had a huge harvest wherever I've gone in the third world, the developing country. Always. It's unbelievable. But you have to go to the worst possible places so that there's no competition. And when you go there, the pygmies, for example, it was unbelievable. I spent 3 days with the pygmies. They don't have houses. It was a little grass thing, huts. They have no kitchens. They're just outside when it doesn't rain. And then they have no bathrooms. So you better eat bananas. It may constipate you, but you will at least live. Because they didn't cook it in their kitchen. I'm just telling you. Because they offered their food, and I said, I'm fasting. And they said, you've got to eat something. And I looked quickly over, and I saw some bananas that are all wrapped up the way God wrapped them up. And I said, I'd like some of those bananas. So for 3 days, I ate bananas. They were okay with that. But I knew I ain't dying because I'm going to eat this food that's been cooked on your, kind of thing. No, I'm not going to drink the water or anything. Because imagine in the third world, you can die just like that because you don't have the bugs they have. And I told them, you want me to come back? Bananas. Eating bananas. Now, God is doing miracles today everywhere you go. And I'm telling you, the whole world, except for this country, the whole world is turning to Jesus, even Russia. Even in Russia, that's why I go sometimes to Moldova and different places, Kiev, I've been to all those places. You can have a huge following there, but they're experiencing, and Putin has said, it was Putin's own words, we're going to have Christianity be the foundation of our society. This is a political leader who's a jerk, an idiot. But he's smart enough to see, hey, we need Jesus. Forget that communist stuff. You need Jesus, and I need a few more billion. So he's smart. He knows that's where the money comes from. He knows that socialism and communism doesn't work at all. He knows that where the real money comes from is the people that are working over here because they love Jesus. How many know that Christians actually do good works, but they don't do them for any reason? They just do them because that's who they are. Did you know you're a new creation? You. Say it. I am a new creation. You really are. I mean, he's not just saying that. It's not like a joke. It's not just something, I'll say it. No, no, no. It's the truth. You are a new creation. God really loves you. And he's coming back, and nobody believes it. And I don't care if they believe it or not. I do. But he's coming back for a people. And he's going to have, I mean, a numberless host. You won't be able to number them. So how many are wicked and fall away? I don't know. I don't want to count them. I'm not going to be like King David counting, you know, my troops. Not going to do it. God said, don't count. So I'm good enough with, you can't number them. It's good enough for me. He said the sand of the sea and the everything, the dust of the earth and all that stuff. That's good enough for me. You cannot count how many sand things there are, little sand things. I've never tried to count them. You cannot count them. It's hard enough to do it in the salt shaker. You know, it's hard to count. But God said that's how many children Abraham's going to have. Abraham's the father of faith. We're the people of faith. How do you get right with God? Nothing. You do nothing. He does it all. Amen. That's a good father. That's a father that comes to the child that has messed up, done everything wrong, and he says to him, I see nothing. I count nothing. I see here, you need mercy. Boom. So when you don't deserve it is when you get it. And you go, look, I know I don't deserve it. I didn't do anything. I never was perfect. I never was that good. I tried to be good, but it just wore me out. How many have tried to keep what God said and it doesn't work? You can try it all day long. I'm going to be a good Christian from now on. I'm going to try my best. God says man in his best state, altogether vanity, nothing, poof. And he said, all your righteousness is a filthy rag. It isn't time, is it? No, it's time. Let's have a testimony, then we'll quit. Who has a testimony? Pastor, this was helpful. I understand now the Greek. Go ahead.